Hi, welcome to the Dr. Dreama Show, inspiration and practical strategy for achieving your dream life. I'm your host, Dr. Dreama. I'm a psychologist and life designer. I'm here to help you design the life you want and deserve. Hi, and welcome to the Dr. Dreama Show, the inspirational and practical strategy for achieving your dream life. I'm your host, Dr. Dreama. I'm a psychologist and life designer, and I'm here to help you design the life you want and deserve. So why design a life that you want and deserve? Because, girlfriend, if you don't, you're going to wind up living a life that's less than what you could have, a life that you'll look back on with regret. You want to have a life that is full of passion, joy, and fulfillment. Stop living in denial and create the life you want. So what do I know about this? Years ago, my husband had his first affair. We'd been married for 7 years, so it's kind of a cliche. But yes, there we were, 7 years into our marriage, and he came home and told me he was having an affair because he'd been on a date. You can imagine how that felt, right? We separated within days. We tried counseling. We got back together off and on. He was in the military, and he got orders for Spain. And I thought, oh my God, what if I really get divorced? You see, I hadn't really considered it up to that point. And the truth was, I was scared to be independent. And so what I told myself was, he deserves a second chance. Anybody who gets married should really stick it out and work through it. But no, the reality is I was just too scared to be truly on my own. And because he was in the military, we moved to Spain. We were there for 3 years and had 2 children. When he left the military, we moved to Austin, Texas. At that point, we decided to recreate ourselves. He went back to school to pursue something that was less military-oriented, and I went back to school to pursue my bachelor in psychology. It was a hectic time with the kids being under the age of 3, but it was also exhilarating for me to be going back to school, finally doing something that I loved. One day I was at the library, armful of books in hand, standing in line to check them out. I looked down and I saw the schedule for the library. And I noticed it was never open on Sunday mornings. My heart fell. The reason that this is important is my husband had been going to the library to study Sunday mornings for the last couple of months. My heart broke, and in that moment, I also knew I was at a crossroads. I knew that I could leave the library and pretend I had never seen that schedule. I could stay in my life. It wasn't fulfilling. It wasn't even happy, but at least I knew what I could expect. It was predictable, and it was safe. And then I thought about my kids and what it would mean for me to remain in denial, and I knew I couldn't do that to them. I didn't want them to think that this is what life looked like, that you settled. I left the library, I called the bank, transferred half of the money into my account, and I called my husband and told him what I had found out. I realized I had been in denial about this. Suddenly it seemed like all of these pieces were falling into place in a way that just was so painful. The fact that I had run into him with this woman on more than one occasion. The things that he would say to me that I think I knew were lies, but I couldn't admit it to myself. I had turned a blind eye because I was scared to death. How would I be a single mom? How would I take care of my babies? Even though he pleaded for another chance, I knew I really didn't have a choice anymore. I had to stand up for myself. I had to do what was right. And so I said, no, that was it. No more chances. And he moved out a couple of days later. He got together with the woman he was having an affair with, and she got pregnant as we were going through the divorce process. But I did pursue my dream. I started graduate school. But then that first week, I got up in the morning with such a headache that I thought something's wrong, but I went to work anyhow. And I realized I needed to go to the student clinic, but before I could even get there, I started violently vomiting. When I got into the student health clinic, they took one look at me, put me in isolation, and called for an ambulance. When I got to the hospital once again, I was put in isolation. I was terrified, absolutely terrified. You see, my kids were in daycare. Their father was out of town. I was on my own, and I was really sick. I was put in isolation, and a spinal tap confirmed it was meningitis. I was hospitalized for a week. I was in graduate school, and yet I had to learn how to read all over again. I was single parenting, and I was exhausted. It felt like all I could do was put one foot in front of the other. And then I found out I had to move suddenly within 2 weeks. And at that point, I thought, universe, what kind of bad joke is this? Is this crazy? How much more do you expect that I can take? Fortunately, things began to shift in my second year of grad school. I got a job at a crisis hotline, and I was not the one in crisis, which felt really good. It turned out my ex and I were really good co-parents. I made a great group of friends. I loved my graduate courses. I was working on my dissertation. And in the last year of my doctorate program, I moved to do an internship in Oregon for a year and met the love of my life. You see, during that time, taking a risk and stepping outside of myself meant I did bigger things. And I met this woman, and we had a great friendship during the year I was in Oregon. At the end of the year, I returned to Texas. She moved to the Caribbean, but we began to visit each other. And one day realized we had more than friendship on our mind, which was just both wonderful and also really scary because neither one of us had had a relationship with a woman. And I thought, I don't know how to do this. But I felt something so big and so wonderful. And I was scared that my ex would have a reaction because he was very conservative, but he accepted it. My kids loved her, and the four of us became a family. We had a great time learning how to be with one another. As the kids got older, Judy and I began to travel, and we started exploring the world outside of Texas because we knew Texas was not going to be our forever home. It's a conservative state. We would go to different places and look around and say, wouldn't it be great if we could live here? Every time we went, we would be like, oh, wouldn't it be great if we could live here? And one day we looked at each other and said, how about if we start doing and stop talking? That's how we wound up moving to the south of France, where we recreated the life for ourselves. And looking back, I realized I took very specific steps on how to create this new, happier life for myself, and that is what I want to share with you today. Stop living in denial and create the life you want. Otherwise, you see, you're wasting everything that's unique and special about you. If you have children, you're being a poor role model. And look, I get it. It's scary. I didn't want to admit my husband was having that second affair because I felt like it reflected on me. I felt like it was my failure. But it wasn't. My failure was living in denial and not learning what my truth was, what my needs were. And look, I know what you're thinking. Your circumstances are different, or maybe you don't think you're as strong as me, but I didn't think I was strong either. I just knew I had to change things. I didn't want to live with that dead feeling anymore. So yes, there were lots of times where it sucked. And if you choose to create a life that you love, it's going to be hard some days, and you're going to need support. But it really is just about taking one step at a time. Because you see, when you take that one step, you get invested in taking the next step and the next, and it begins to feel like confidence. Stop living in denial and create the life you want. Now, I'm going to show you how to take some steps to stop living in denial, because I want you to really get this idea about how to create the life that you want. And the first thing you have to do is the hardest. You have to recognize that you've been lying to yourself, like me. I really didn't want to know that my husband was having that second affair, not with two kids. I was scared to be alone, and I kept telling myself, it'll be okay. It wasn't okay. The next step is I want you to compare what you want your life to be and what it actually is. You see, when I look at my life now, I realize I was so far away from what I actually wanted. But I couldn't let myself know that because it felt too uncomfortable. And that's the third step here, is you have to be willing to sit with your uncomfortable feelings. It wasn't until I could admit how lonely I was in my marriage that I could begin to let myself want something different. It wasn't until I began to realize I wanted a voice that I began to let myself want something different. And you see, when you're not dealing with your feelings, it changes everything for you. You hold yourself different physically. It attacks your immune system because of the overload of stress. I had migraines my entire marriage. This might surprise you. It surprised me at the time. I stopped having migraines after I got divorced because I started being true to myself. I learned how to talk about my feelings. I went into therapy determined I was going to be the best mother, the best person that I could be. So here's what you need to do again. You need to recognize that you're lying to yourself and living in denial. You need to look at what your life is compared to what you want it to be. And then be willing to do the hard work, sitting with the uncomfortable feelings. In creating the life that you want, you really have to think about it in terms of one step, one goal. For me, the biggest step was deciding to go to graduate school. I knew I wanted to be a psychologist. I knew that education was important to me. And that was a big step because my ex had said to me, oh, you know, they only let smart people into those programs. My self-esteem really took a hit on that. And then I thought, you're not the one to decide whether or not I'm smart. I'm applying anyhow. Taking the step to apply helped my self-confidence so much because I was telling myself what you want is of value. I learned how to give myself credit, and I learned how to be compassionate with myself. I started identifying what I wanted my life to look like, and I knew that what I wanted was okay. So taking your steps, it's really about one goal, one step at a time. And again, each time you take a step, you send yourself this powerful message about what you want is of value. And in turn, you get to feel like you're of value. It begins to build your confidence, and it begins to work on building up your self-esteem. Stop living in denial and create the life you want. Okay, now this is my favorite part of the show, the Ask Dr. Dream apart, where I answer your questions and emails. And I would invite you to actually email me at my address, my email address. And I'm going to spell it out for you. A lot of people get my name wrong because it's a little different. So my email address is Dreema, D-R-E-M-A, at DreemaDial, that's D-R-E-M-A, DIAL.com. Send me an email and ask me a question about how you can create a life that you love. Now today I have a letter from Janet who says, I've wanted to go back to school forever, but my husband says I'm too old. He says it's a waste of money and that I should just take up a hobby. But it's been my dream to get my college degree. I'm 40. Am I too old to dream? Oh, Janet, well, as you heard earlier, going back to school was a dream of mine too. And I don't believe that we are ever too old to go back to school, because it's a dream. Why would you give up on your dream? But here's the truth. If you let somebody else dictate for you what you should do, you're telling yourself that their judgment about your dream is more important than yours. And you have to stop that. You have to back away and ask yourself, what is it that I want? And if it's been your dream to get your college degree, then find a way to make it work. You can check into scholarships. You can check into, there are a lot of programs that are specifically for returning students or non-traditional students. And all you have to do is reach out. Reach out to your community college. Reach out to your local college and find out what they offer for returning students. Because this is a way for you to make your dream work. And you're not too old. I recently read about a woman who is 92 who just got her bachelor's. So if she can do it, Janet, you can do it too. I want you to take that first step about reaching out. Look up on Google your local college and see what they say about returning students. And after you do that, I want you to write me back and tell me what they told you. Because I think this is a great step for you. If this is your dream, I want to support you in your dream. And people listening, there are probably people out there who have the same idea. The same idea around, I'm too old to pursue this, or I'm not pretty enough, or I'm not smart enough. And if you're like Janet, what you need is that sense of self-confidence, that sense that you can do it. It's never too late to pursue a dream. Stop living in denial and create the life you want. You see, you deserve this. You have the right to create a life that speaks to you, to create a life that's about your values. Why would you settle for somebody else's value? I don't remember who actually said this quote, but it really speaks to this idea about how we sometimes pull a blanket over ourselves and we don't let ourselves know that we don't actually like our lives. We might complain that we're tired or we're stuck, but a lot of times we don't let ourselves really know that we don't feel good about ourselves, that we don't feel good about our lives. And so this quote is, sometimes your heart needs more time to accept what your mind already knows, and you know in your heart what change you need to make. I think I like this so much because it really speaks to my life experience. I didn't want to know when my husband had his first affair, didn't want to know the second time. My heart needed a little bit more time. But once things became clear, I knew without a shadow of a doubt what I needed to do. I didn't know how I was going to do it, and I was scared, terrified, and I had never, ever felt so alone. But I knew I had to make those changes. This is Dr. Drema on the Dr. Drema Show, the inspiration and practical strategy for achieving your dream life. Thank you for joining me today. In my next podcast, we'll be talking about how to create the confidence you need to take risk and really step out of your comfort zone.